Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 10th on the West Coast, now January the 11th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. And boy, how do we begin tonight's show? It's been a crazy few days here with what's going on in Houston. Houston's crazy too, but I meant to say Tucson, Arizona. The assassination of a federal district court judge, actually a chief judge, and Congresswoman from the state of Arizona as well, who was holding a community meeting at a Safeway grocery store. And this is, from what I understand, a weekly event that was attended by both individuals and hundreds of other people. And on the most recent event that she held at a Safeway grocery store, she was shot through the head by someone who we probably all would agree to some extent is mind-controlled. And this whole story stinks to high heaven as a psychological operation. We're going to talk about that tonight, I'm sure, with tonight's guest. He himself is a fantastic researcher of both history as well as current events. He is a naturopath as well as a PhD. He hosts his own radio show on themicroeffect.com, the story behind the story. Atruat.com is the website, and that's because his name is Dr. Atruat. True, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show tonight. this story just keeps getting – I knew there was bizarre things that would come out, but it is bizarre what we're uncovering, indeed.
Very. I spent 2 hours myself today, and you did this evening, tackling the same – subject. Of course, I was on Drew Rain's show and got into many of the inconsistencies of the story from alleged witnesses and people that Jared Lee Loughner grew up with. Mainly, I became interested in the college professor, as he's referred to in many articles. I thought a professor had to have a PhD or a doctorate degree, we'll say. But nevertheless, those stories are allowed to go out over mainstream media. There seems to be, from my perspective and in my opinion, a lot of disinformation out there. Timelines don't match up. When you do some of the digging that I've done, you see a similar pattern all the way across the board. What would you like to reference in regard to this? And we haven't even decided on what we're going to talk about tonight, so I hope it's not minerals or chemtrails.
not hardly. Yeah, the symbolism of this, too, is I don't know if this is absolutely coincidental or not. It's just funny. There's six people dead.
Yes, that's a
we have. Yes. Yeah, an interesting number. We have the congresswoman in very critical condition. She may or may not make it. She will have probably some brain damage, perhaps. But they're not really saying anything. But, as you were talking today, tonight on the show, there are a couple of really strange things seem to poke out. On my show, we've had a fairly regular guest. We call her Liz. She's a a multiple personality Manchurian individual herself. She's been utilized in rituals since she was a young child. She really now is whistleblowing to, you know, the best that she can to tell anybody that will listen what's involved in producing a Manchurian candidate. And she sat on my show a number of times, and it's pretty well common knowledge that you can tell individuals who have been into this mind control game with, you know, just looking at their eyes. Typically, one eye will be much, you know, wider and brighter than the other eye. Okay. Mm.
Usually the left eye is more closed from what I've seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You can see that in his, you know, his high school picture very clearly. This Jared Loughner. We discussed on my show tonight, as you may have listened in, he's 18 years old when he begins to be accepted into military, into the army, I believe, recruiting station. He goes through a series of entrance exams. He passes them all, but then it comes to the point where his urinalysis checks out. He's clean as far as illegal drugs such as marijuana is concerned, but they reject him because of a history of drug abuse. The official story is he just officially admitted to using marijuana in the past. Well, I don't know about you, Don, but there's a lot of people in the armed forces that have been marijuana users before. And, you know, they say, well, yeah, I've used marijuana in the past. As long as you're not using it now and it's clean on a blood test, I don't think that stops you from getting into the military. I may be wrong, but there's.
Well, I mean, if you are going to accept the images that they put out in many of the Vietnam movies, Vietnam era movies, they're all sitting around smoking a pot in those movies. So it was allowed to be in the movie, but they didn't do it there in the jungle. You know. Why depict it that as such? Of course, you're right.
So I'm just I'm believing that they looked at his medical record and found he's probably got some psychotic drugs, your antidepressants, perhaps. I'm speculating here, but it would make sense that they would refuse him based on pulling his medical records, which would show that. Now, that's the first thing that's kind of a question mark. The reports, the news media is just obviously leaving all that alone for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the young girl that was shot and killed, Christina Taylor Green, I wonder what she's doing there at that Safeway. She's quite a little celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandfather was the major league pitcher, Dallas Green. He managed the Philadelphia Phillies in the 1980 World Championship.
That's interesting, the Philadelphia connection.
Her father, John Green, is a scout for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they're into sports. She's 9 years old. Get this. She's nine. Guess what her birth date was?
September 11th,
2001.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that this occurs on 1/8 of 11?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've been looking at the dates. Now, when you take the number 9 and reverse it, flip it over, it's a 6.
Exactly.
Okay. So we have 2 sixes there.
And looking at her pictures here on the website, Look at her eyes. Very, very much. This one pupil is way larger than the other one.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to someone this evening that was giving me sort of a high-level report on this, and she was, this is what they're putting out there. Now, whether this is absolutely true or not, the parents were evidently interviewed possibly on Fox Network, and they alluded to the fact that she was very, very interested in politics, and she knew someone who was going there, and that was her reason for being there. That's at least what comes out for public consumption. But you're saying that there's definitely the earmark of someone that might have been controlled. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's something to think about for sure.
Mm-hmm. For the sake of our listeners, Drew, and, you know, we throw these terms out there, you know, we say programming, or we say split personality, or Manchurian candidate, sleeper, and such terms. Would, for those new listeners out there, or those people who don't really understand these terms, could you spend a minute or two explaining that, in general terms, but, you know, in layman's terms?
There's a very good book to start. If people are wondering what the terms mean, there's a book by a pastor by the name of Russ Dizdar, D-I-Z-D-A-R, and the book is simply called The Black Awakening. Now, Pastor Dizdar's in your neck of the woods there in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has exhaustive work with hundreds of individuals.
And he's a former U.S. Marine, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, it's just an expose book on this subject. And I have personally interviewed a number of people who have been involved in this, again, unwittingly, unwillingly as well. What we're talking about is a very covert CIA operation called MK Ultra that was identified in the 50s, 60s. And Senator Church of Idaho began to make inquiries. There was a Senate committee that did some digging. Of course, the CIA covered itself, saying, oh, this was experiments done in the Cold War era. We have eliminated all of this. It's not happening anymore. You know, the movie with Denzel Washington of the name The Manchurian Candidate is a remake of an earlier Manchurian Candidate show. But again, it's what the character of Denzel Washington portrays is what we're talking about here. Often these individuals have ties to the military, either by family or friends. Typically, the victim has been forced into ritual abuse, satanic ritual abuse situations from a very early age, sometimes as early as 2 years old to 6.5 years old. 6.5 years old is a critical time because the brain synapses or the brain's stem is not quite connected yet. So by extreme trauma, by having these children witness horrors of such things as sacrifice of children and killing humans, they begin to dissociate. They become what's called multiple personality disorder, MPD. Mm. Now, individuals that have come forward, not only to tell me, but also what Russ Dizdar explains in his book, The Black Awakening, these individuals are walking mind control victims. They're in mainstream society. They have different professions, very many varied professions. It could be your butcher at your local Safeway. It could be anybody in the school district, or even in the military themselves, National Guard troops, but they're fitting right into mainstream society for the most part. They really don't know that they are have a separate life, but then they're given an order and given specific programming, and they perform it. Now, it would appear that when we talk about this 22-year-old young man, could very well be that he was given this in a specific waking program to do this, and search warrant issued into his house. He lived with his parents. There was an envelope that was prepared with the planning of this. Event at the local Safeway was well, advertised. It was not just something random that just happened. This was an absolute planned situation. He was very methodical. He came in and called up the names of the victims as he shot them. So there's some very strong earmarks that this was a false flag event to, again, try to roust sentiment against right-wing or conservative talk show radio hosts. And anybody that would want to even discuss the subject is meant to be vilified.
Mm-hmm. Now, this process of programming, and I just want to add this, follows a similar system used through the Illuminati bloodlines to control their each generation. In other words, their children are shown the most obscene type of treatment and behavior by the adults that surround them, including torture, for the first 18 months of their life. Then suddenly it switches, and they follow that up with love and attention and affection. And then from 3 on again, the programming takes on a new sequence. It's been written about by many people who have studied that. Fritz Springmeier is one who comes to mind. Cisco Wheeler, Susan Ford, a.k.a. Bryce Taylor, talked about the same thing. Her daughter was programmed. So it's a generational thing, and it's possible that a person who's been mind-controlled is going to have their DNA respond to a certain type of treatment. And when that woman gives birth to a baby, the baby's going to have a propensity to be able to be programmed, maybe even easier. And they put them in all kinds of compromising situations. And usually the parents go along with it. Either because they themselves have been mind controlled or blackmailed, extorted, or threatened in some way, and they seem to have a disconnect. So it would seem to be a question that many of our listeners would ask themselves: how come the parents didn't notice this strange behavior? Or did they not care, or did they not notice it at all? Any thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, the parents would be, again, either paid or part of the system. It's mm-hmm. it is definitely multi-generational. And, just the very fact that a 22-year-old would go out and systematically empty a 10-shot magazine Glock into, in a deadly manner like this. It just doesn't make sense the way it went down. Okay, mm-hmm. if you got somebody so crazy, psychologically messed up, they're just going to just shoot as fast as they can. They're not going to boom, boom, boom. Just pick their target so perfectly and so accurately.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have conflicting reports as to the number of shots that were fired in the first clip. And I've been doing some follow-up research, and there are even pictures of 30-round clips, whether or not there was actually one found on the scene or whether one is going to be planted to perpetuate this story that he was about to reload. One wonders how many people are just standing around waiting to be shot, or were people able to get away at some point? Now there are stories about an emergency room doctor tackling the individual, Loughner we're talking about, and a Hispanic man. And because he was this retired doctor who they say is now working at a hospice, which I find a little bit strange, more than a little bit strange. I didn't know doctors worked at hospices. They work in the hospitals where they make the big money. He said to Wolf Blitzer on CNN the night of this event that because he was holding Loughner down, he was unable to get up and attend to her. Now, someone else informed me that her aide, one of her aides, I don't know if it's the one that died from wounds himself, was basically holding his hands on both the entrance and the exit wound of her skull to minimize the bleeding, and that may have saved her life. But all these witnesses that have been coming forth don't quite add up. The story gets even stranger as you listen to them painting this picture of this troubled individual that everybody seemed to just tolerate but allow to roam freely. Any thoughts on any of that, including the number of bullets? Because he would have been programmed to be an accurate shot. He wasn't in the military, so how did he get his training in, you know, with a firearm?
It goes back to the if he is in fact one of these multiple personality structures, there's very likely an alter, as they're called, that would have been trained as an expert marksman, a very much an executioner type of style.
Yes. Now this occurred on the 8th. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. 1-8 is a 9, and a 9 is an upside-down 6, so there's your third 6.
9-11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just an or 9-11. Again, you can look at it different ways, but you have three 6s.
Well, that's what my contacts have been telling me, is that the year of 2011 is going to be a year of chaos in both in economics, but of more and more of these released Manchurian candidate attacks. Mm-hmm. I was specifically told to look for the fourth day of May, 5-4, as the target day to basically announce the dollar being removed as the world reserve currency, which would give six months to a year before the total collapse of the economy, world economy, okay, to bring in the new world currency by 2012. Well, I asked, well, what's so significant about 5-4? He says, well, my source said because of the symbolism of 9-11. 5-4 is 9/9/11.
April 5th could be the same thing too.
Exactly, and that basically said, look at the first, the month, the day, and the year equaling 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize that till today, as I was on the show. I'm just sitting here. What was Saturday's date? And I looked and says, oh, there it is, and that's exactly what my source told me. So, if this whole pattern holds true, let's look for to the 7th day of February. Let's look for the 6th day of June. I'm sorry, the 6th day of March, et cetera, et cetera. April 4th or April 5th, and March 4th, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see. We'll see if it holds true.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it doesn't, but there's just some very strange anomalies here.
Now, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but this is another aspect of the same numerology, the use of numerology and black magic. After 9/11, 2001, and we got the Osama bin Laden tapes, they would be released in a series of videotapes. First bin Laden, then his second in command, al-Zawahiri. Then I began studying the dates. It was after the London bombings that I actually realized they were using this formula. But you could take the dates that the bin Laden tapes were released, either from him, allegedly from him, through Al Jazeera, which I see as a CIA company, and then the al-Zawahiri tapes, and looking at the mathematical formulas that come up from each date, you could predict when an event would happen. And I went backtracking and got the dates of the release of the bin Laden tapes, and sure enough, 777 would come up, or the Bali nightclub bombing, pretty much any of the false flag events that occurred, whether it was the Madrid bombing, the London train bus bombings. I mean, when they blew a bus right in front of Tavistock, what does that tell you? They blew up one of, I think, four buses that were exploded. And, of course, they blamed it on Muslims. But that's for public consumption. The thing is that these patterns are there, and it's a signal. Now, you'd have to say, well, who are they sending this signal to? Well, this is to each other. They plan these out, and then they carry them out when the time comes. It's all done like clockwork. And we could say that those are the codes of the Manchurian candidates or the switches, if you want to call that, the triggers to get them to react. Now, it could be very well be that this event that occurred itself is a trigger.
Well, speaking of triggers, and I'm not talking about the Lone Ranger here, I did a show or two, and again, this is coming from individuals such as my contact and my guest has been on my show, Liz, a number of times, but one of the very, very clear puppets in this is Sarah Palin to me. Her intimacy with Henry Kissinger, who's again marked in these books that you referenced before, Transformation of America and Thanks for the Memories, mm-hmm. as being a major programmer and handler. To have Sarah Palin spend very close intimacy with Kissinger, and they're in New York, have her picture taken, and then having Kissinger just gush over her like she's some celebrity, just is very, very eye-opening. And then you have Sarah Palin actually coming out on her website, her political action committee, with the good congresswoman from Arizona in a scope with a bullseye on it. What would cause Palin's group to target this lady from Tucson?
Henry Kissinger.
Uh-huh. I mean, what in her career, I guess you could say, her voting record, her history, she's only 40 years old. Why would she be targeted this way? You know, is she doing something, you know, that's similar to what Traficant was doing? Is she just being a loose cannon? Well, I think looking at her rhetoric, what she's trying to accomplish, the biggest thing she has done, the most critical thing is she is introducing legislation. She was working with this federal judge to stop the flow of drug illegal drug profiteering in the bank system. She was stopped these use of these transfers of cards.
Mm-hmm.
She was very deeply involved with this, and so was this Judge Roll.
And I understand both had very strong opinions about illegal immigration too.
Well, yeah, she was against the Arizona law per se, but she said there's better ways to stop it than this legislation. She, and again, it's just hitting it in the financial pocketbook area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, if Sarah Palin is so Tea Party, you know, oriented to stopping the inflow of illegal immigration, why would she target? Why would she have her ads with a crosshairs of, you know, bullet target of the congresswoman from Arizona? That's a huge question mark. And knowing, and just when Kissinger came out and gave her those ringing endorsements and said what he said, it was code to me that she's a Manchurian and he's her handler. What has this woman done, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, look at this objectively. Okay, she comes out and makes these canned speeches about hunting and guns and killing animals. But what's her history as governor of Alaska? She quit. She's a failure, ladies and gentlemen. She's done nothing that I can see that justifies her having a spotlight of a running mate for McCain in the first place.
Well, she was a good candidate or a good running mate for another illegal alien. So,
yeah, the point is, what qualifies her other than she's got a pretty face and she talks tough. Nothing else, really.
Yeah,
I never got it when he announced her, you know. And I thought, my goodness, she's got to be. There's got to be some connection to Kissinger, and I didn't know that, but I suspected that. And so, sure enough, here it comes out. You know, I'm just as I'm reviewing this whole thing about looking at what Palin has done to target this 40-year-old congresswoman, you know, as being, maybe it's a feminine thing. Why wouldn't she target Nancy Pelosi? You know, Nancy Pelosi is about as opposite as could be from her, and she targets this moderate so-called blue Democrat.
Yeah, despite what one thinks of either one, Jared Loughner made the most dysfunctional comments I think anybody could make about someone who they allege he wrote that he gave thousands and thousands of dollars to. I mean, that's a preposterous story. We say, well, he was crazy. He needed help. He needed health care. He needed health insurance. He needed mandatory health insurance. That's the message. They're trying to push all of his agendas that have failed so far or have met enormous opposition. By whom? By the Tea Parties. Was this guy?
And look at this Tea Party movement. Let me just – I hate to interrupt you, but you got Kissinger promoting – you know, there's Kissinger tied to Rupert Murdoch, the Fox Group. You got Rockefeller involved with this, with Kissinger, and then you got this Glenn Beck nutcase, who just is out there, you know, promoting and pumping this rhetoric. It seemed like it's I guess the best way to describe it, Don, is I watched just last week that movie, Miracle at Saint Anna. That it was a great movie about the, you know, the black soldiers in World War II, and I think it was well done. What struck me in that movie, Don, was the actual recordings of the so-called Axis Sally. Her real name was Mildred Gillars. I did a little research into Axis Sally. Now, let me just remind you what happened. She was this Nazi propaganda individual who broadcast from an underground bunker, and it was to turn the black soldiers against their white commanders, okay, their white officers. She has this deep, sultry, sexy, seductive voice. She tells the black soldiers that they are fighting a white man's war. She tells them that their black sweethearts at home are being raped by white men. And she says that the Germans have all the fried chicken and sweet potatoes, yams, waiting for them if they surrender. And this continues on and on. And in fact, it did have an effect on the black soldiers' morale. The black soldiers were warned not to listen to her. And this was brought out in the movie Miracle at St. Anne's. But the speech did, in fact, in affect them. Well, my point is, Don, what Axis Sally is saying and the rhetoric of Sarah Palin are just like just right out of Goebbels' playbook, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. There's another photograph. I'm actually looking for it, but it wouldn't help much on the radio. It's one of the Rothschild women. I don't want to misquote the name. Is there an Elizabeth Rothschild? I don't know. Anyway, it's a picture of her, Sarah Palin, and behind Sarah Palin's back, Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, is being handed a little metallic device that's supposed to be sort of a trigger for him to put her in her programming mode. And it's a very interesting photograph. So it crosses party lines as well, this control. And well, Kissinger is obviously affecting both sides, because if you read Bryce Taylor's book, Thanks for the Memories, she talks about Henry Kissinger being the boss of Bob Hope, who was her handler. And she had assignments where she would go to like a ball held at the White House or at some big public function in Washington, D.C. And she was trained to go in there and listen to 100 different conversations and come back and report verbatim everything that was said. This is the extent of the mind control. That was her job, and she reported this back to Kissinger personally. So Sarah Palin could very much be someone like that, and how she acts in public and how she acts behind the scene are two different things. She may not even be aware of it.
Well, here's the other thing. As you pull up the the Wikipedia entry and this is amazing. Mildred Gillars, and they actually see her Bureau of Prisons ID photo there. Mildred Gillars, G-I-L-L-A-R-S, also known as Axis Sally. Her Bureau of Prisons ID photo shows the same difference in pupils. Okay, that one eye is definitely larger, one pupil is definitely larger and dilated, more dilated than the other one. Okay? Mm-hmm. Guess where Mildred Gillars was born? Her birth date, November 29th of 1900, born in Maine, Portland, Maine, in hospital in Portland, Maine, but she grew up in right by Kennebunkport. Does that any bells? She died June 25th, 1980, Columbus, Ohio. Cause of death, natural causes, nationality, American. Her names, Axis Sally, Midge at the mic, Berlin Bessie, the Bitch of Berlin, Olga. She was educated. She went to school at Ohio Wesleyan University and the Berlitz Language Schools. She was employed by Radio Berlin, absolutely devout Catholic. her husband, Max Otto Koistwitz. Isn't that interesting? How in the world did a little sweet Mildred Gillars, born an innocent baby in Portland, Maine, November 29th, 1900, end up to become Axis Sally? Now, that's just one instance, ladies and gentlemen. How about this one? The Italian version of Axis Sally was Rita Luisa Zucca. She was born in 1912 in America. She was born in Manhattan, the only daughter of a Manhattan restaurateur, Constantino Luigi Zucca. She attended convent school during her teenage years, and then she went to Italy in 1938 and worked for Mussolini as a typist. She renounced her American citizenship in 1941 to save her family's property there, but she gave it all to Mussolini's government. Wow. So she was radio announcer that did the Axis propaganda in Allied troops in the North Africa and the Italian region. So, I mean, what is this about these American women that come out and become these fronts for Mussolini and Hitler? How does that work? And why are they Catholics and with close ties to the Jesuits?
Well, that would have been George Herbert Walker, who owned the Kennebunkport property in those days. It didn't go into Prescott Bush's name. By the way, there's some new revelations about the specific identity of the sheriffs. I've been working like crazy. Very interesting stuff from Dachau, and it still involves Otto Skorzeny. But in this case, this happened through New York. Obviously, this was part of this whole Zionist banking machine that they put together to fund the war and two world wars, not just one. Two world wars. And all the ones in between and afterwards. So, you find the same thing today, too, is that many of these Manchurian candidates have addresses within 9 miles of Kennebunkport. Old Orchard Beach, that area, only 9 miles away. So it follows a pattern. Ohio Wesleyan also brings up a memory of Supreme Court or a federal court appointee who was involved most likely in the Abraham Lincoln assassination. He went to Ohio Wesleyan. Jefferson Davis is part of his name. For some reason, I'm blanking out on the entire name. But as soon as I saw that, I'm looking at the page as well. And then you have 1911. She took the surname Gillars in 1911. Why did they change that name? Oh, it says okay, I think we're back on the air. Maybe you can let me know, Seth, or whoever is at the board right now. I guess we are. We're live. Okay. We're back. Sorry about that, folks. Things happen when the truth comes out. True, are you with us?
I'm hope so.
Okay.
I hope so.
It might have only been a small technical accident over at the network. So I think they're enjoying the information right now. Okay, so I didn't mean to distract you, but I see some similarities there. The Berlitz School, that's interesting, in Berlin.
Yeah.
And all those connections. Wow.
How does this lady from Maine end up working for Goebbels and Hitler in Germany?
Well, did she apply for the job?
I mean, see, this again, it goes back to the central theme of really who funded Hitler into power. And, you know, it goes right back to the Catholic Church structure. You got these individuals, the broadcast in the South Pacific, the Tokyo Rose. Again, these are Americans.
I was thinking of that when you mentioned this.
Yeah.
I actually have an explanation of this from Frank Zappa. If you care to hear it, it's very short.
Yeah.
If I can play it for you, I think the audience would get the message of what we're saying here. Of course, this is in a very unique delivery. This is dealing with the issue of how things change in the world, and you really can't explain it, and that there's a politically correct, if I can use that term, I hate that term, way to let somebody know what happened to somebody. He calls this whatever happened to all the fun in the world.
What happened to all the fun in the world?
Larry's not with us anymore. He went on, you know. Yeah. He bit the big one. Yeah. Well, he's got his own little piece of head.
Anyway, I just thought that would be a little bit of comic relief just to show you. It sounds crazy, yet this goes on all the time, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, you know, this picture of Kissinger and Palin. She's got her left hand on his right breast as he's, you know, she's holding on to him, and her right hand is in his right hand, and there's a picture that's very, you know, this guy's gnarly hand, he's got his index finger extended, and they're just way too cozy. I mean,
and she's an Arab woman too.
Yeah, it's sickening. And then of course another picture is her just absolutely embracing Lieberman and Obama at this fundraising event. She's way at home with these people. I got to tell you, something's really, really wrong with this. To have Sarah Palin come, you know, in her political action committee website, actually have this picture of Congresswoman Gifford with, you know, in the crosshairs of a rifle scope. Something's really wrong with this. I wonder.
Now, do you think she really posted that, or that was?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was, you know, she actually. This is a actually in Time Magazine's report, Time's website, actually quoting her saying that Gifford is one that needs to be removed.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, well, that's just political rhetoric for, you know, targeting her congressional district. Really? You know, McCain from Arizona, why isn't he targeting this. And Palin's her, his running mate. This just stinks, Don. Mm. Something's wrong here. Again, why is I don't see any other congresswoman, Nancy Pelosi. Talk about somebody that needs to be targeted. But obviously, you know, Nazis are a good friend.
Yeah, well, this is obviously directed toward the Tea Party movement. You see, this is to discredit anyone who comes from the right or conservative viewpoint politically as being wackos and nutcases. And they're going to just make enemies of these people. This is what Tea Party people do. Well, we know this mind-controlled Loeffner was not a Tea Party proponent. After all, one of his favorite books was Mein Kampf. And another was the Communist Manifesto. Of course, he liked the Wizard of Oz, too. So, you know, this is all contrived to shape public opinion. This is a psychological operation on the whole world, not just our country. To me, you know, why bring Sarah Palin up in regard to the assassination of a federal district court judge, the chief judge, who had just made this landmark ruling, which is a slap in the face to the Obama administration, and then turn around and attack Sarah Palin after this. It doesn't make any sense, but everybody just goes with the flow. Well, yeah, Sarah Palin this and Sarah, you know, she's a twit. She has no business being there. Other than that she's programmed and she's doing what they want her to do.
She's another Axis Sally. She's saying all the right things. She's a seductress. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, don't be sucked into it. And the other one is Mitt Romney. I'm going to say this right and make a prediction. You're going to see Glenn Beck more and more and more just singing the praises of Mitt Romney. He's the only one that can save America. He's got all these good plans. Yeah, they're both Mormons. They're both strong LDS.
That was going to be my question. Does it have anything to do with the Mormon church?
And most definitely Glenn Beck is as LDS as he gets, okay? Let me just bring this up. This is in the Associated Press. It came into today's Monday, January 10th paper, Salt Lake Tribune, and it was relegated to the third page. But it's simply Romney on trip to war zone, comma, Middle East, Boston. Past and likely future Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney arrived Sunday in Afghanistan on a week-long trip to the front lines of the U.S. war zone and to the Middle East.
That's the poppy fields, right?
Yeah. Senior advisor Eric Fernstrom. Does that sound? That sounds a kind of a Yiddish German to me. Fernstrom said the former Massachusetts governor was scheduled to meet with President Hamid Karzai while in Afghanistan. He also met with General David Petraeus, who is leading the U.S. war effort in the country. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just put this into perspective. Mitt Romney is nobody except a billionaire. He is not a congressman. He's not a governor. He's not a senator. What gets him the right to go and to meet with the leading general, General David Petraeus, and to meet with Afghan President Hamid Karzai? Now, get this, quote, in addition, Romney will, this is a direct quote, train Afghans and share with the local leaders his views on issues of leadership, public service, economic opportunity, and democratic participation, Fernstrom said. Who is this guy, Romney, to go over there and start training the Afghans? Here it is, 2011. He's over there on 1/8/11, the same day that this shooting happens. Okay, get this. Romney, quote, is proceeding later in the week to Israel to meet personally with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and finishing up in Jordan to meet with King Abdullah II.
Hmm.
Romney is a former businessman whose work as a venture capitalist and in turning around the 2002 Winter Olympics gives him great strength on economic issues. An expected 2002 major battleground as the country slowly recovers from the Great Recession. That's exactly what I've been saying. You know, now to me, this is strong evidence that this man has been chosen. Because if you look at what happened in 1998/99, you see George W. Bush making the same 10-day trip to Israel. You see him, you know, going through all I was talking about this on a radio show. What is George W. Bush doing? He's not even a declared candidate, yet he's going over there and meeting with these heads of state in the Middle East. You see where it's going?
Yeah.
This is sickening to me.
Yes. Well, Mitt Romney was on the Larry King show, you know, Larry King Live on CNN, so that may have something to do with his popularity.
Man, this guy is creepy.
Well,
believe me. Yeah. I did a DVD. I got to send it out to you. I did it during the 2008. Well, I actually did it in 2007. It's called Mitt Romney the Demagogue. In the LDS Church's Temple Square area, downtown Salt Lake City, just the west side of the temple wall, you have the church's genealogical library. Okay. And back in 2007, I walked into that. Well, it was actually before 2007. It was 2003, 2004. They have a whole wall that's dedicated to, quote, the descendants of Anne Hutchinson. And here's a picture of this lady named Anne Hutchinson. Descendants of Anne Hutchinson. Well, it was all a family genealogical tree and is pointing and funneling right down to a man and a big picture and all in full color, and it's Mitt Romney. It was just creepy. You have part of this tree, you have Supreme Court justices, you have all the Bush family, they're all related, they're all descendants of Anne Hutchinson. So I thought, well, what is all this about? And who the heck is Anne Hutchinson?
You're speaking about the pioneer settler in Massachusetts?
Anne Hutchinson is the patron saint of witchcraft in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's the story is very bizarre. If you look at, she's the Massachusetts Bay Colony. She came out, you know, they're painting and spinning her story that she was this big proponent of feminine rights against the male-dominated priesthood of the Puritans. But she's banished from the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Why? Because she has some unnatural dealings with 12 other women, making a grand total of 13. Even today, witchcraft covens, witches meet in covens of 13. Isn't that interesting? She's banished from the colony, and she resides in a swamp in around the Maryland area, which is now known as Washington, D.C. Back then, it was just this really strange, eerie, witchcraft-laden area where dark black magic was practiced. It's now known as Washington, District of Columbia today, or District of Criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Don, what's amazing is the reasons, this is in, I went digging about who Anne Hutchinson was. Why was she banished from the Massachusetts Bay Colony? This is just quite a few decades before the Salem witch trial. She was in Salem, Massachusetts. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, thinking that that's probably where she was.
She was involved as a midwife with a woman who became pregnant, though her husband was absent as a ship's captain. And all of the priests of the Puritan church there, they were wondering how, which of the good men or boys impregnated this friend of Sarah, of Anne Hutchinson. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The time came when she was delivered. Anne was her midwife. This is all in the Massachusetts Bay Colony official records. The infant was stillborn, and Anne did not present it to the church for a Christian burial. They eventually tracked by a bloodhound to a place where Anne Hutchinson had taken it out into the woods and buried it. And they exhumed the carcass, and then they gave a detailed description of it. It'll blow your mind. It's on my DVD. The exact words out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony records. It was an infant that's best described as reptilian. Has scales, has vertical pupils in its eyes, has horns like a stickleback, whatever a stickleback lizard is. This is bizarre stuff.
It's bizarre, but you mentioned this individual that went over to Afghanistan, and I've seen this individual shape-shifting on television.
Well, there you go. He's a descendant of Anne Hutchinson, just like the Bush boys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget who Mitt Romney's father is, George Romney. He's now deceased. Governor of Michigan, absolute colleague and a mentor of Gerald Ford there from Michigan. The whole thing just, the governor's mansion there in Michigan, the little island that they go to, all of this is prominently figured into the reports of Bryce Taylor and others.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really strong top-level areas of the satanic ritual abuse going on. So this is the family that we're talking about. No wonder this guy has been picked by the Illuminati as their golden boy.
Yes, and what do we do about it? Other than, sound the alarm, alert people to these. Some people are thinking, what are these guys talking about?
Yeah, they're really out there. They need to go to sleep at night.
They're birthers.
they're shifters. Hey, I didn't make this stuff up. I'm just reporting on it. I swear. Yeah, when I read this about Anne Hutchinson and why she was banished and the reports that are there officially still in the microfiche of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, the Massachusetts records. You could knock me over with a feather when they gave a physical description in the record of this stillborn creature that was birthed by birthers. Oh, my goodness. Do you remember, I know we're getting out of time, but there was
We're okay for the moment.
There was a series of interviews that Art Bell did back in his early years is from coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
It was the woman that had written a book, How to Conjure Up an Alien Lover. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I still have this on a cassette tape because I recorded it because it was so bizarre. She was basically telling people in this book step by step how to basically draw a pentagram, how to conjure up a reptilian lover, okay, and she was talking about how it was just great interdimensional otherworldly sex. She was very graphic. It was late night, and the kiddies were all to bed. She would be graphic. She said, "This, it's for women." She says, "This is the most incredible prolonged orgasm you'll ever experience. It lasts for literally hours instead of minutes." And And then Art Bell had her back a second time when her book was finished, right? And he got very kind of graphic with his questions. She said, "Is this physically happening?" She says, "Oh, yeah, it's very physical." And he asked her basically, you know, do you exchange bodily fluids? And she says, "Oh, of course we do. He has pleasure as well." And then he asked her, "Well, is there any, do you ever worried about becoming impregnated?" Her answer was, "I feel it would be a high honor to carry this being's offspring."
Yeah, well, I call that, yeah.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, this is the so-called whore of Babylon talking here. This is what we're talking about in the book of Revelation in the Bible. This is the original Lilith, the original patron goddess of the Illuminati black magic, the deepest magic, the dark magic. These fallen beings will come. They are reptilian, and they want to breed half-breeds. Now, does that sound too crazy? I don't know. I'm just reporting on what's out there late at night. Okay. Good heavens.
Well, this is reported by some talk show hosts and people that have written books or have been interviewed on talk shows. Some are hosts, actually, who have touted this. And, of course, they say that there's a point of no return where these reptilians maintain a certain kind of control. And although they lavish them with gifts, sometimes with jewels, and promise to take them to another planet or make them part of the royalty, you know, treating them like a queen or a princess. This is a recurring story. And you could say, well, you know, anybody can create these stories and put them out and try to make them look genuine. But when you see with your own eyes, when you see people shape-shifting, and these accounts come from different places and they mirror what others have seen. You don't have to be molested by a reptilian to watch one shapeshift.
I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to see it. I just, you know, I'm just saying that there's a bizarre story that's reported on. Again, Art Bell brought it on his show. It fits with mythology. It fits with the first woman, the first wife of Adam, the so-called mother of the Ashkenazi race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, look at the history books, look at the traditions, look at the Jewish ritual murders that go on and have gone on since the dawn of Babylon. And you ask yourself, is this Christian? Is this what Christ came to stop? I think it's exactly what he came to stand up against. And if we claim to be Christian, we better wake up to the reality. He called these scribes and Pharisees, he called them vipers, a generation of vipers, called them serpents, ladies and gentlemen. And I just submit to you, he wasn't using slang vernacular.
Yes, not to change the subject, I think this sort of enhances it. This predispensation for Egyptology and the buried artifacts underneath the Sphinx and the whether or not there are treasures, there's certainly a lot of metaphysical or maybe even interplanetary technology and things related to Egyptian alchemy there. Is it any wonder that what's going on in the Middle East is happening so close to Egypt? You know, and the mysticism and the connection between Egypt and even in America. We've talked about this on past shows, and I've talked about this a lot with Jim Murray, Montauk. And the Montauk Indian family surname was Pharaoh. And Montauk being a secret Nazi sub or U-boat base, where we've had people come forth and say when they were children growing up in that area at night, if you looked out at the water, especially on a moonlit night, it looked like a forest out there. There were so many antennas when these ships surfaced. So this connection goes all the way back to Tibet. You and I have talked about that a number of times. Hitler had a very unusual interest in what was going on with the Bon of Tibet. And it is said that he had a host of monks, 11 monks, Tibetan monks, in his presence, teaching him some of the things about the mysticism. And then again, you have the Nazi symbol, which is the reverse of the universal wheel of fortune. It's a Merkaba of sorts for those people. It's represented in India as well, but it's not used for satanic purposes. The wheel turns in the opposite direction. The Nazis just took it and simplified it in appearance and made it turn the other way. So it goes beyond mere coincidence.
Well, I've got a this month, or actually December's edition of Whistleblower Magazine. The cover story, the cover picture is George Soros and his evil empire. I'm sitting here looking deeply at this. This is a pretty good picture of Soros.
His left eye?
Well, both eyes, if there's not vertical pupils there, you can see the vertical structure of them very clearly. You also see, there's no eyelashes. There is none. And it looks like it's got a second layer, a definite second layer of eye there. This is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me the willies just looking at this guy.
Well, men, I've told my listeners this on the show many times. When you watch the video of these beings, if you can capture the video and put it into a separate movie frame, in other words, when you watch it in a flash video, you don't have, let's say like on YouTube or Google, Google Video, you don't have the ability to freeze frame and advance a frame at a time or so. Sometimes it's several frames. It depends on the actual frame rate of the movie when you convert it. But if you get it into a very manageable program, something like Final Cut Pro, you can go in there frame by frame and advance forward or backwards. And you will see two sets of eyelids dropping down. First, one that's very reptilian in nature. It looks like you're looking at a frog or a turtle or an alligator or a crocodile, for example. And they have this sort of opaque type of lid that comes down that protects the eye, but they can still see through it. Then the normal eyelid that everyone has comes down. And sometimes you'll see lumps on either set of eyelids, but usually the right and the left eyelids do not function in sync like they do on most people. When someone blinks, blinking is a natural way of lubricating the eye with the saline solution that the eye naturally produces. But what's going on when you're seeing two separate lids moving? And sometimes one, let's say the left lid, usually moves before the right lid moves. And it will sometimes just stay down there before the other lid actually comes over it. And it gives you the willies to see it. But I've seen it time and again.
Yeah, this is what looks like it's happening. If you look closely at his eyes, you can see, well, it looks to me like a second lid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is bizarre stuff. On page 6 of the Whistleblower Magazine, the article is titled Soros, This Is When My Character Was Made, end quote. Jewish Billionaires, Investors, Chilling Nazi Occupation Drama by Art Moore. As the son of a prominent Jewish lawyer, 14-year-old George Soros should have been a target of the Nazi regime in Budapest in 1944 when it was rounding up hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews for transport to death camps. But his prescient and resourceful father, who amid the rising anti-Semitism had already obscured his family's heritage by changing their name from Schwartz to the Hungarian Soros, and had bribed an employee of Hungary's Ministry of Agriculture named Baumbach to take in young George and pass him off as a Christian godson. Soros, however, then found himself accompanying the same official, Baumbach, in his appointed task of confiscating the property of the Jews. While few would blame the teen for the predicament, his reflection on it decades later is very revealing. With vintage footage rolling of women boarding a Nazi boxcar, CBS's Steve Croft remarked to Soros in a December 20th, 1998, 60 Minutes interview, quote, "You watch lots of your own people get shipped off to the death camps," end quote. "Right," Soros said. "I was 14 years old, and I would have to say that's when my character was made."
Hmm.
"In what way?" Croft asks.
I was going to ask that question. Go ahead.
Quote, "That one should think ahead. One should understand and anticipate events and when one is threatened." It was a tremendous amount of threat of evil. I mean, he started stammering. It was a very personal experience of evil. Soros acknowledged that he, in Croft's words, quote, "helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews." Croft then asked, quote, "I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?" Soros replied, "No, not at all, not at all. Maybe as a child you don't see the connection, but it created no problem at all." "No feeling of guilt?" Croft followed. "No," said Soros.
Now, where was he when this occurred? Was this in Hungary or Austria-Hungary are we talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Austria-Hungary, the Hungarian Jews. So, wow, isn't this amazing? We see a perplexed Croft continued, quote, "For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go, and I could just as easily have been there. I should be there. None of that?" Soros replied, "Well, of course I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense to me that I shouldn't be there, because that was, well, actually, in a funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course, I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow."
Now, that sounds very much like he's just making a pragmatic decision that's of sound business mind, but it hints of programming, doesn't it?
It does. The left-leaning media watchdog Media Matters of America, funded by Soros, no less, has criticized, quote, as a discredited right-wing smear, claims that these interviews show Soros apparently was, quote, a cheerful and willing worker for the Nazis. In the same 60 Minutes interview later, George Soros emphatically affirms he does not and did not believe in God. His own biography reveals that the worldview informing his investment and political strategies can be traced to his mentor at the London School of Economics, the prominent philosopher of science, Karl Popper.
And he's made a career in recent times of funding the campaigns of long-legged, short-legged, bow-legged, and no-legged Mac Daddies around the world.
Indeed. He sure funded Obama into power, most definitely. And, so there you go.
Yeah, and there's proof that he's related to what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico and its relationship to Petrobras in Brazil, and who knows what else.
Indeed. He's made billions and billions of dollars on this global recession, ladies and gentlemen, and he's positioned himself for the decline and destruction of the U.S. dollar. That's the main mover and shaker. He's the enemy of America, ladies and gentlemen. I posted on my website, atruat.com, this incredible quote by a woman who was the author of Axis Shrugged, or Atlas Shrugged, I should say. She was there, witnessed the fall of the czars of Russia. She saw the rise of Bolshevik / communist, the genocide of that situation from 1917 to 1950, the hundreds of millions of Christians, slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
There's no 6 million Jews here. We're talking hundreds of millions of Christians under this rule. And she explains how they did it. The first thing is to get control of the money supply. And that's what they did so well in the 1910s, leading up to the collapse of the czars. It's exactly the same game plan, exactly the same in America right now today.
Now, before we go, Drew, I want to go back to something we were talking about earlier, and that's the programming of these Manchurian candidates. From your conversations with Liz, and you've revealed the story with her as a guest on your show numerous times, admitting that she was programmed to target you. Specifically,
yes.
Has she alluded to? We know this goes on within a specific family. Okay, does she talk at all about extended families? Let's say through names, surnames, for example, cousins or whom are going to be related in some way, maybe distant cousins, to keep this pattern of the name. Let's say if it was the Bush clan or the Clintons or the Fords or any of the Illuminati names, or names unknown to many people. Has she mentioned anything along those lines?
No, yes and no. We're not going to, she doesn't want to publicly name names at this point.
I'm not asking for specifics. Yeah. I'm just saying, has she alluded to that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're specifics.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's an important question. Several people have been asking that question. So,
Well, we're just looking at the top of the food chain here, the evil emperor, Soros. And you're going to see, in some ways, the Illuminati leader are upset at him because he's a loose cannon out there saying things that they're not ready to let out yet. They don't want people to understand who's crashing the dollar and why, for instance. But make no mistake, he's a very dangerous individual. But yep. Then so was Kissinger, and so was the big new Brzezinski, and so were the Rothschilds. So, yeah, they're all in the same group of Kabbalists.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we could go on forever on this topic.
Indeed, it's almost 12:30. My goodness, time flies.
It depends where you are in the world. In some places, it's 7:30.
Huh?
8:30, 9:30. We're heard all over the world, so. Some people are just getting up. Some have been up for a number of hours and are tuning in. So there's no excuse. There's no time, really, at all. Anyway, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints. Oh, looks like we lost our connection again with Dr. Ott. Anyway, I want to extend my thanks to him for being on the show. He will be with us again next Monday. And also, I want to thank Windtalkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we have Seth Hendrick and Doug Newsom on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when yours truly, will be the host and sole guest of the show. In the meantime, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.